Erev Tov, Rabotai. So as we get closer to Purim, Abal Nem Tov Avlibracha, which is a time of intense Simcha V'Sason LeYehudim, Simcha Mishteh B'Yom Tov, big stuff going on. I just want to focus a little bit less on the halachic implications, even though we touched on that today, but more on the hashkafic and musar implications of intoxication, the mitzvah of Ad Le'oda on Purim. Now, besides for the halachot, and even though lehalacha, a person very much is, there are machlokot, what the extent of the shichrut of the intoxication should be, but Maran Zichron Bracha was always very clear that he goes with the Orchot Chaim and the Meiri that the Bet Yosef brings down, that a person has to be, you know, we're not mitzuveh to get drunk and in a way of holilut, you know, frivolity. It's supposed to be besimcha. And, you know, that's really, really not the mitzvah. But I really want to focus more on the fact that many times, even on Purim, a Ben Torah especially has to act like a Tehillim Elohim. You have to remember that you're Ben Torah no matter what. You're Ben Torah on Purim also. Purim is not a heter to, you know, mamash. People do all sorts of things to be a little more open and giddy, and that's part of the simcha, yeah. But to be on the floor lying, you know, rolling around and throwing up and doing all sorts of, you know, shameful things, that's not the Derech HaTorah. That's not the Derech of Rabotenu Aposkim and Chachamenu Zichron Bracha. That's not the Derech of anybody, especially not a Ben Torah, because Purim is, you know, the Ari HaKadosh writes in Shaar HaKavanot that Yom HaKippurim, in certain ways, the B'china of Purim is even higher than that of Kippur, but only when used appropriately. If a person abuses Purim, not only is it not greater than Yom Kippur, but it becomes mamash a bizayon haTorah, a bizayon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bar Minah, becomes a chilul Hashem. It's a terrible, terrible thing. I have a lot of friends in Hatzalah, and they tell me that one of the busiest days of the year, unfortunately, is Purim. It's a terrible, terrible chilul Hashem. You know, you're not teenagers anymore. I mean, you kind of are, but you know, you're making the transition, and you're big boys, and learn to make good, rational, right decisions. Make good decisions. That's the Derech HaTorah. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. Make decisions that will result in Kiddushem Shamayim. Make decisions that will make HaKadosh Baruch Hu and your families and Am Yisrael proud. Not things that Chalila not. There's no, especially this year, you know, we have back to back, you have Purim and then Shabbat Kodesh, and then to walk into Shabbat like a sack of potatoes, like something the cat dragged in, Zikvot Shabbat. You know, Shabbat, you know, make sure that you are composed. Compose yourself. Make sure you walk into Shabbat royally, with dignity, as you would any other Shabbat. It's not different than any other Shabbat of the year. To be a mensch, a ben Torah, a tzelem Elohim, even and especially on Purim. I don't want to hear certain things that people act in. Lo ra'ui, lo ra'ui. It's not the way of a ben Torah. I'll tell you a story. How old was I? I was either 19 or 20 at the time. And I was in yeshiva still. I was in the Meir Yeshiva. And I decided to dress up. So I had to dress up it wasn't a costume. It was like I dressed up as something very specific. Nothing wrong with it, whatever, but it was a very specific get up, let's put it that way. And I showed up at my Rebbe's house for the Seuda and dancing, whatever. He didn't want to embarrass me, so he called me over like when it was a quieter time. So he pulls me over, Rosh Hashiva, and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "What? What'd I do?" He says, "Why are you dressed like that?" I said, "Purim? I don't know." So he said, "No, He says, you shouldn't get dressed up like that anymore. You shouldn't get dressed up, period, and you shouldn't get dressed up like that. I said, why? He says, you're Ben Teira, you're Talmid Chacham. You shouldn't be doing that. I said, but it's Purim. He says, but you're Ben Teira. There was a limud over there. I'm not saying don't get dressed up, and that's all fine. But I'm just trying to show you the Musara skill, that there's the Ben Teira element of Purim also. There's the I haven't gotten dressed up since. He forbade me. He told me, you're not allowed to get dressed up anymore. I was young. I was in yeshiva, but he says, you're not allowed to get dressed up. He says, no. So that was then. That I haven't done it anymore. That was it. Yeah.
Why should we get dressed up?
No. I happen to respectfully disagree. Well, if it's whatever. But he told me that. He's my Rebbe. I was Mekavin, Kibanti. You're allowed to disagree with your Rebbe. It's okay. I wasn't going to. I think it's okay. It depends on the age, depends on the situation. You know what I'm saying? I was also, at the time, I was already giving shiurim. There's a lot of things going on. Okay, so that was the monologue for today. As always, donated to Achatane Yakar Jas Aziz, who's always a big fan. He still is. He tells me he still listens. Way out there in Great Neck somewhere. Anyway, the kids are. But I'm going to open up the floor. I don't have so much time. But for the chassan,
Is there still...
Who cares what you look like? You know what I'm saying? If your jacket roll up your sleeves, you can sweat it out. I'm not a turan. You know what I'm saying? That's the come. Like how you dress, how you're not dressed. You have to be, you can dress like that better. But I cut is how you're learning. Work up a sweat. If you work up a sweat when you learn, you can take off your jacket and roll up your sleeves. Got it? Work up the sweat. Go.
Rabbi said that he thinks the Ben Torah should or could get dressed up on Purim. Is there costumes which are appropriate? Could. Is there costumes which are inappropriate? I've only seen my Rebbeim dress up as like other rabbis or Hasidish or frocks. I've never seen them wear anything else other than that. So
yes, there are absolutely costumes which are inappropriate. There's no question. Not only from a tzniut perspective, that tzniut, by the way, applies to both boys and girls. That's a common misconception. Oh, tznius is a girl's thing. Not. But putting tzniut aside, all sorts of characters, dressing up as something different or funny or, you know what I'm saying? Laughter invoking, that's all fine. Chassidish clowns, something, you know what I'm saying? But there are certain characters that are not mat'im to Am Yisrael. That's why I always had a problem. You know, certain kids, they dress up as like superheroes for Purim, like Supermans and Spidermans. What? They come from Haman. They want to kill us. Why? You have what I'm saying? It's not mat'im. It's not a thing. Movie characters and superheroes, it's not, that's for goyim. So yes, there's plenty of things which are inappropriate. You can't go into all of the, you know, you have to use your brain. Things that are antithetical to Toratino Kedosha are inappropriate. Yeah, I never understood why people want to dress up like Arabs with, you know, with kafirs and what? I'm not saying it's us or whatever. It is what it is, but it's not. But there are, yes, absolutely things which are inappropriate. Insufficient.
A lot of the guys in the shiur grew up from a lot of the boys in the shiur grew up from like a more modern background. Does Rebbe think we should try to be more like the yeshivish type to like
fit in with them, or like even Haredis in Israel, or if we didn't grow up like that and that's not us, we shouldn't do that. No. In general, also like raising our kids, should we try to fit into that if we feel like that's a better hashgacha for us?
Yeah. Whatever I answer, I'm going to get in trouble here. It's either with Haredi world Jewry or with Persian moms. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the... I think everybody should dress up on perm in white shirts. I think that's the best costume. It's the best costume. I don't know. I think you should live your life and raise your family like a Ben Torah. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say that either. I said live the life of a Ben Torah. Now, in Ben Torah lifestyle, there's a spectrum. You know what I'm saying? Just like there's a spectrum in anything else. So in how you dress and where you live and how you act, and some people learn all day and some people don't. And some, but a Ben Torah, you know, there's like the core beliefs and tenets of a Ben Torah. Those things are non-negotiable. You know what I'm saying? You can be a Ben Torah and wear a colored shirt, Chalila. But, you can... You know what I'm saying? Like, it does exist. You know what I'm saying? You can't be a Ben Torah and not have strict adherence to Torah mitzvot. You can't be a Ben Torah and not learn X amount of hours a day, no matter what. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a song like that from Joe Newcomb. You don't have to be whatever to be. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You don't have to wear a white shirt to be a Ben Torah. But I don't know what the inverse of that would be. But you do need to learn and live a certain lifestyle to be considered Ben Torah. And wherever you live and whoever you marry and whatever family you came from, it doesn't matter. You're a Ben Torah for life. That's what it is. What's not yeshivish about you? Let's start with that. How you grew up and how you are now is not necessarily the same. You know what I'm saying? I grew up playing Mortal Kombat. I don't play it anymore. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Fatality.
Yes. Get over here. No. That was right. No, he says get over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, kids are.
The recording won't get the bit.
I know, I'm such a Russian. Anyway, the kids are. But, you know what I'm saying? Yeshiva, what is yeshivish? What does that mean? Define it. Okay. I don't like to put things in boxes, you know what I'm saying? Viventera, huh? You don't think there's any non yeshivish. Less yeshivish elements in Lakewood? Lakewood's a big place.
BMG, let's say.
Okay.
That world.
Okay, yeah, so that's...
He's saying he wants to be like BMG or like...
But there's ways to be...
BMG requested to follow me on LinkedIn yesterday, so...
Okay.
Like BMG.
Whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? Just be a Ben Torah. Be wholesome. Be honest with yourself and with your family. Live the values that you represent. And be mechanech your children like that. And raise them to love it. Who cares what you label yourself or what you label or what others label you? Who cares about labels? Just do the Ritzon Hashem and then let the chips fall where they may. Oh, he's looking at me like I'm less yeshivish. Okay, yeah. So? I have people who look at me as less yeshivish also. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I do my thing, they do theirs. That's okay. I went to yeshivas. Does that make me yeshiva? I think I'm pretty yeshivish. You know what I'm saying? Do I walk around with all the, you know, the minutia and whatever and speak broken? No, but you know what I'm saying? But I'm yeshivish at heart. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, yeah, I have hair at heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is. Okay, next. We got to wrap it up. Go ahead.
What's the halacha for when you have fishy meat right out to each other being served the same meal, like, you know, like Friday night I'm having gefilte fish and then right I'm having gefilte fish and I'm going straight into, you know, I'm having some like chicken or having some other sort of meat.
So for
same. What's the halacha with the same, possibly having the same? Don't forget, there's soup in the middle. Don't worry, there's soup. We need some challah soup, gefilte.
No,
the fish first. Gefilte soup, then the meat. What happens if like someone has it on the same plate? I know like a fork is not so good, but same meal.
Skinny.
Anyway, because.
I know, but you're like a deprived, like identifying Sephardi. That's who you are. Huh? And I'm skinned. The halacha is between fish and meat, or meat and fish, whichever order. You need to do kinuach ve'adacha, which is washing out your mouth and hands if you actually touch the fish. But if you're not touching the fish, then it's just your mouth. You need to eat a food and swish a liquid in your mouth to wipe away the residue and the remnants of the fish in your mouth, at which point it then becomes safe again to consume the other meal. That's
like the soup, like cover all that, because another meal, it's the liquid is going through my mouth.
No, but it's meat. The soup is meat. So you need a piece of challah and a, you know, to take a drink.
Sorry,
and
that was an Ashkenazi answer. That was my smartest answer.
I know. One day, you'll make it.
Hey, good. I remember Rebbe talking about how a Ben Torah, right, even when he's not learning, he needs to be like, you know, like when he gets asked to like do something from his parents or like something like that, right? It's in the getter of being a Ben Torah to do like the proper things and to do it with like kavod.
Be present.
Right, but I was always told that, you know, like let's say like your parents ask you to do something, like you only go do it if there's like no other way that it can get done, as in like if you're sitting and learning, like you like sit and learn, like only if your mamish have to go. So like, how would that stem? Like, shouldn't you go like b'simcha? Like, oh, like I'm, like, you know, like I'm gonna go like be like the kind being a Ben Torah.
I'll just preface that with saying, you know, I wouldn't call it Ben Azmanim, but Pesach is coming up, a time when there's a month between Purim and Pesach. By the way, don't get any ideas, but when Pesach comes around, we go home. We're home more than we are throughout the rest of the year. So the Chazon Ish used to tell his Talmidim that just like Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, you have to start learning the Halachot of Chag, these people dormed in Yeshiva, he says, 30 days before Ben Azmanim, you have to start learning Ilchot Kibud Avayim. Shloshim Yom Kodem, to brush up. Instead of looking at it as a chore, you're right, we're not Mevatil Torah for many things, but if there's a real necessity, now again, if the parents are just trying to be mevatel the kid, like send him on random useless chores just to be mevatel oto, then like, okay. But I don't think we're talking about parents like that. If they're asking you to do something and now is the time that they need you to do it, so that's a kiyum mitzvah tasev kibud avayim, which means that, and you're on bein hazmanim, so even when you have sedarim, you have to make time for these things as well, because part of the limud of bein hazmanim is the kibud avayim shebo, is the gemilut chasadim shebo, are the mitzvot that we may not have as much of an opportunity to do when we are so engrossed in the Bita Midrash throughout this month. You know what I'm saying? So that in and of itself becomes a limud. If there's a way, you can ask, you know, Ima Abba, do you mind if I wait until after Ben Asdarim, whatever it is, to go? Okay. If they say, no, I really need it now. So remember that you're on Ben Asmanim now and you have Seder. That's true, but you can make that time up for learning now and whatever if they need it. This is part of the Seder of Ben Asmanim. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's Yirida Letzorach Aliyah, because you have to make sure when you go home that they're, like if you don't, they're like, what is he learning all day? And some parents will ask that and not understand the innate, intrinsic value of the Torah Kedushan. Like, what's he learning all day long if he can't help his parents or if he can't help his siblings or whatever? You know what I'm saying? That's all part of the Seder. Yeah, anyone else?
How does a Ben Torah, when they're in a non-Ben Torah environment, let's say like family or kiruv type or chokim, what are the boundaries that a Ben Torah can give over versus not to almost relate to these people while still keeping themselves like a Ben Torah and not giving too much in?
It's important, you know, kiruv is important for everybody, not only kiruv professionals. To a certain extent, we're all exposed to Kiruv because we come in contact with different people in our lives, family, friends, acquaintances, whoever, that are not as exposed or observant as us. And we have a mitzvah to, you know, reveal the beauty of the Torah Kedosha to them. The golden rule of Kiruv is never, ever give an inch when it comes to halacha. Meaning, there's no discounts on halacha when you're doing Kiruv. You're not allowed to do Yichud. You're not allowed to talk to girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing Kiruv. Yeah, my Rebbe had a very sharp line. I just want to reiterate this. It was said as very harif, and it may be taken the wrong way, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's true. My Rebbe always told me you have to make sure that Kiruv doesn't turn into Kiruv Basar. Understood? Huh? No, not only, well. Huh? There's no negotiation. There's no discounts on halacha. It doesn't belong to us. Halacha has to be adhered to. Huh? If they exist, besin. You have to know how to apply it. Yesh v'yesh. Okay? You know what I'm saying? But however, you know, if yesh al mani smoke, if it's something that's neged halacha psuka, then that's it. You know what I'm saying? But if it's something that is machloket and yesh makum le'akel, ask a shayla. You know what I'm saying? But the golden rule for Kiruv is, don't bring yourself down to them, bring them up to you. Don't bring the Torah down, bring them up, raise them towards the Torah. Okay, last one for the evening. Just clean up.
You're always left field. Yeah, good. Is there a significance in buying the nets on Purim?
Ask it again, Lev. I'm here.
Is there significance to praying nets on Purim?
So as you know, the Gemara says in the beginning of the fourth Pirik of Masichet Berachot, praying nets anytime is especially significant. That is what the Gemara calls Vatikin. Those who are super meticulous about mitzvah observance, it's the best time for Tfilat Shacharit. Even if a person doesn't do it every day, but whenever he does it, is wonderful. On Purim, which is an auspicious day, you find in the Kitvei HaKabbalah and Kitvei HaChassidut, that it's a day of Uma Bakashatech Ve'inatin Lach, it's a day of Tefillah, and getting, you know, our Tefillot answered. So it's especially poignant to pray Nitz on Purim for whoever can, wherever possible. You know, especially this year, Nitz is really late. Nitz on Purim day is 7:08.
Is it like more like a guarantee to get
Tefillot answered? There's no guarantees to get Tefillot answered on our terms, ever. Tefillot are guaranteed to always be answered on Hashem's terms, not necessarily on ours. So there's no guarantees for anything, because we work for Hashem and not the opposite. So, but it's definitely more mesugan. There's definitely more koach. There's always more koach to tefillah banetz than not. Not to say that there's anything wrong with a tefillah that's not banitz, but on Purim especially, matov u'manayim, if a person, any tefillah, limud, whatever it is that a person can offer on Yom HaPurim, it's so, you know, I'll end off with this, the Kutzker Rebbe, he had a very, you know, his son-in-law was, the Kutzker's son-in-law, was the Avni Nezer, the Sachachover. So he writes over there, he says, the Kutzker Rebbe says that my son-in-law became the Gdol Ador, the Avni Nezer, because his father, the Sachachover's father, when he, on Purim, when everybody was busy, you know, running around doing the mitzvot ayom, the Sachachover's father sat down to learn, and Min Shamayim, that made such a rash. It's brought down in the, it's called the Saraf from Kotzk. He writes, in Shamayim, they said that he was zochet to such a gadol because of that, because we find many times, even the Gemara says, that if there are mitzvot that are neglected because of whatever it is, and a person comes and really, you know, pushes through, and he actually picks up, he raises that mitzvah, Mekabel sachar keneged kulam. He receives sachar for the mitzvah that everybody else should have been involved in. I just read this morning in Ashrei Ha'ish, which is a sefer that brings down halachot and minagim from Rav Eliashiv. So it says over there that Rav Eliashiv would prepare his mishlochei manot and matanot levanim, all the, you know, the nitty gritty details of all of the mitzvot on Purim several days before Purim, because he said that the epitome of asmada has to be done on Purim. He wanted everything to be done so that he could give every spare moment to learning and, you know, plugging away on Purim, because that, he says, is no less of a mitzvah tayom than all of the other mitzvot. And sometimes, unfortunately, it gets neglected. By the way, you have to start learning in Chot Pesach on Purim, it's 30 yom kodem achag. Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes in Siach HaSadeh, he says that a person should preferably, in order to be mekayem the mitzvah to the fullest, learn Hilchot Pesach at Seudat Purim. Bring a Mishnah Berurah Chelekei, open it up at the Suda, Siman Tav Kaftet. Yeah, 30 Yom Kodem Achag. That's the Kiyum. There's four mitzvot of Purim, but the, you know, possibly the most important and the glue that holds together all of the other mitzvot of Purim is the Talmud Torah. It's a day of Kabbalat Torah. The Sheilta says, why is it that on Purim there's a mitzvah of Seuda, whereas on Chanukah, it's a minhag, it's not a chovah, it's a nice thing, but it's not a chovah as it is on Purim, because Purim is a day of Kabbalat Torah. There's a Kimu v'kibelu, the Gemara says, Shabbat av pechet, Kimu ma shekibelu kvar, it's a day of Kabbalat Torah, and Kabbalat Torah must have a Seuda. You cannot have Kabbalat Torah without a Seudat Mitzvah. On Chanukah, there are other things going on, but not Kabbalat Torah. On Purim, there was Kabbalat Torah, therefore there must be a Seuda. So how, I guess, how backwards would it be to have a holiday that's all about Kabbalat Torah and to have a Seuda and everything, but not to focus as much as possible on learning? That's so counterintuitive, because that's exactly what Purim is all about. Have a good night.